Wouldn't even say it was 305 exactly that sparked it, but more so like a life event that happened probably right around that period of time of weighing 305.
Do you think we need to reframe what is actually cool?
I think most people are focused on achieving things that they don't actually want.
Interesting people, thought-provoking conversations, nutrition for your brain. Journey through the minds of the world's top performers and discover what it really takes to achieve your highest version. This is the Danny Miranda Podcast.
Carter, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I'd love to start with your tattoos.
All right.
Because I know you have one 305 tattoo. Mm-hmm. I know you got the arrows. What other tattoos do you have and why are they significant to you?
Yeah, so I have four total tattoos. By the way, I love starting the podcast this way. I have the 305 tattoo on the wrist. I have the arrows on the back of my arm. People watching, they can see it. I have this circle with a square on side or on the inside right here. And then I have the words, "We just keep winning," tattooed on this. And so I'll go like maybe in order then of like when I got them. So the first ever tattoo was the 305. A lot of people see that and they're always like, "Oh man, are you from Miami?" And normally if I'm like not one to go through the whole story of what it is, I'll be like, "No, I'm just like a really big Pitbull fan. Just my guy, you know?" But that was actually my heaviest body weight that I had like recorded on like a digital scale that I had. And so basically just kind of got that as like a reminder. So for like anyone listening who maybe doesn't know who I am, I do a lot of fitness stuff and it kind of started with my own fitness journey of like losing like 145 plus pounds. So, that's just sort of like a reminder there of like where I started from. The arrows on the back, you know, what's funny is these don't really have much of a meaning at all. If anything, what it was is I was actually really scared to get like a bigger tattoo. I was like living on my own for the first time and I wanted to get a tattoo, but I just had this like fear around it for some reason. And so like one night I just like went and I wanted arrows, but the guy drew them like double the size that I thought they were going to be. But in the moment, I was just like, fuck it. And I decided to do it. And so if anything, maybe it's just like a reminder to like take action and to keep moving forward. After that, I have the circle with the square on the inside. And this one represents freedom and structure. I'm a very big like habit-based person. I know you are as well. I was going to get it with a square and a circle on the inside because that's sort of the freedom and structure, but I think it's actually like a religious symbol or something. So I didn't want to like confuse people. So, I felt like this kind of got the job done just as well. And then this one, we just keep winning. So shout out to James Manley and John Romanello. I got this tattoo with them just spontaneously one night. This was sort of our saying every time we hang out. It's like whatever we're getting into, at some point in the night, we're just like, we just keep winning, like in life and having fun and friendship and stuff. And so we decided to make the declaration permanent and get it tattooed. It's like a fun conversation piece. But yeah, that's what that means.
Are you familiar with Charlie Rocket?
I'm not.
Charlie Rocket has this thing where he has winning streak tattooed to him, and he's got a bunch of different people who tattoo winning streak to themselves as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's anything like that. I don't know. And I think like after the third tattoo, I think you reach a point where you're like the point of no return, where like now every like tattoo I get after this just is like is way less of a big deal. And so like getting this one was like a super easy decision. Like this definitely wouldn't have been tattoo number two, but tattoo number four, it worked out. And so now I got the bug. And so like once you start getting tattoos, like you're always starting to think about like what the next tattoo could be. So I'm definitely at that point now.
What's the next one?
I don't know yet. The only idea I've had, and it's not a good enough of an idea to do it yet. I have to be, I think Derek Halpern or someone said like, if it's not like a yes, it's a hell no. A lot of people have said that in like a different iteration, but that's kind of how I treat tattoos. Like it has to be like an absolute yes or I don't do it. But one idea I had was somewhere like on the inside of my hand here to get the words "be here" with like a period, just as like a reminder to like stay present. I can tend to like think off into the future, like into what ifs and everything like that. So just as like another little reminder, whenever I see it, right, to be still, like to be here. And typically when I get tattoos, it's usually something that is impactful in my life at that moment, right? It's something that I'm really focused on in that life and or at that moment in my life. And so that's kind of would be the next idea, but not totally sold on it yet.
It's interesting that you went on this journey of fitness being your main focus. And then you're talking about be here. Like more of a mindfulness, more of a meditation. I don't know if those are things you practice, but it's interesting the journey we go on as people, where I feel like I went on a similar one where fitness was my number one priority for some time, and then it was becoming more present, more peaceful internally.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through your journey of internal peace, if you've gotten there.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily say that I have gotten there, but it's definitely something that I work on. And I think it definitely started with fitness, right? And, you know, when I first started like my fitness journey, I was like in high school, right? So I was super young. And with a fitness journey, it kind of makes you very focused on like the future, right? Of like what's to come, right? Getting results, whatever it is. And so I caught myself spending the things I was doing on a day-to-day basis very focused on like what I was going to get in the future, right? Which, you know, for accomplishing big things, you know, the work you do right now doesn't often turn into results right now. You have to look into the future. But I definitely learned a lot of that through fitness, and it carried over to when I started my own business too. And before I moved to Austin, I feel that a lot of my time was spent thinking about what was happening next. Which again, isn't always bad. If you're trying to grow a business, grow a podcast, right? Achieve a fitness goal, you need to be thinking about the future and like what's going to happen and everything. But I found myself spending basically all of my time always thinking about the next thing, right? Even if it was, I was out hanging out with friends, I was thinking about what are we doing next, right? Or what's happening the next day, or what's happening next weekend, what's happening next Monday for work, right? And I feel like when you're always in that state, right, you're always in this state of uncertainty. Whereas if you are just right here, right, like right now in the present, there is like no stress in the present. There is no uncomfortability, rather, you're just being. And so I try to practice that as much as I can, like with meditation, obviously. But I don't know, just like a reminder, I think would be really, really great. But I feel like once you reach a certain point of success, be it with fitness, be it with business, it's very easy to kind of stay in that I want more mindset. But the more I achieve in that way, the more I try to stay grounded and stay here, because there's a lot more to life, right, than just getting a certain body or having your business grow to a certain point.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so funny. One place you're present is when you're typing on your computer, mm-hmm. replaying the same song over and over again. I have it on good word that Mike Vacanti told me.
Yes.
You do that, which is fascinating. Take me through that process of figuring that out.
Yeah. And so, man, I haven't actually done that in a while. I shifted over to, there's an awesome app called Brain FM. And so they have like different like noises for different like tasks, whether you're like doing work, like deep work, or like relaxing or sleeping or whatever. But I do love to do that still. Basically, the whole idea though is gets you into like a rhythm with things, because you stop sort of listening to the music at some point. And if anything, you get like the beat is like the same consistent beat over and over again. And so that sort of puts you in this like rhythmic mindset. And I always found it really helped with like flow, especially creative flow with writing. Mm. And so that was like the idea behind that. I actually got it from Mike Vacanti back whenever I was like first starting my business. And I have like a little Spotify playlist with like the 4 to 5 songs I like to do that with. But my theory, I guess, would be as to why it works is just because it sort of puts you in this consistent beats, this beat per minute, right, of whatever the song is. Mm. And after listening to it over and over and over again, you sort of block out the music and you're more focused on what you're doing. But it's, you know, filling sound, and it's like a consistent sound that you're hearing.
Yeah. Speaking of Mike Vacanti, you actually called him when you had just quit your job, or he called you rather. You sent him a text and he called you right away. And that was an impactful moment on your own journey.
Yeah.
Take me through that text and the phone call thereafter.
Yeah, man. So that's crazy. I actually haven't thought about that moment in a while, but that was a huge, huge, huge shift for me. So what was happening was I was working in a company that did like marketing at the time for a lot of fitness companies. And they were, you know, sort of talking with Mike about, hey, we could help you with doing this stuff. And so he had come down. And I remember I got to sit next to him at dinner where we went. And like, we were just like chatting it up, and he was just talking about like what he did and what he was, you know, making, and like, you know, what his goals were and stuff. And it made me just like realize like he's doing exactly what I want to be doing. And I joined the internship, like I dropped out of college to do it. And it was a great experience, but at like 6 months in was whenever, you know, Mike and I were at that dinner, I like recognized like I need to start doing my own thing, right? Like I could see myself staying in that company, but I had to realize, is that actually what I want? And what I really wanted was to start my own fitness coaching business and do that. And so literally the day after he was in town, I like told like my boss at the time and everyone that I was going to leave. And they basically, they were very like encouraging of it and everything. And then I sent Mike that text just like saying, hey man, I'm doing this. And it was probably one of the scariest decisions I've ever made in my life, because I had made the decision to drop out of school to join this internship. And then I was leaving early to like move back home to start my business. Right. And so I texted Mike and I was just like, I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was something along the lines of like, hey man, just letting you know, just quit my job and I'm going to head home and start doing what you're doing. And I think I was probably just sending it cause I was so nervous. I just needed some comfort from somebody, but then he called me immediately. We talked for like 30 minutes and like, he was just like, you know, telling me all this stuff about how excited he was for me and how much he believed in me and everything. And it did make a huge difference for sure. Early on.
You made that decision like that in a split second. It sounds like. Was there any fear, trepidation? A lot of people would have looked at that and sat on that decision or really thought about it for months and weeks and said, should I do this? Should I not? What made you make the decision so quickly?
Yeah. And what's funny is like, I'm definitely one of those people. Like, I'm not really somebody who like makes a decision and then just goes with it, right? I normally like think about it over and over again. I think it's, I mean, it's definitely something I was thinking about already. But man, in the moment, though, it just felt like such a right decision to make that not making a decision like wasn't even an option. Mm-hmm. Almost, it's like hard to explain. There've been like 3 to 4 times in my life, I feel like in my adult life, where something's happened and it's like the answer of what to do is so simple and so obvious that like I just have to do it. Like I think that was a big moment for me. Moving to Austin was a big decision. It's almost like whatever, you know, other people's opinions of what I'm doing, uncertainty and everything almost like wasn't even in like in my decision making. It was really strange. And so if anything, anytime that ever happens to me in my life, it's like, I know it's the right decision to make. And so for me, that was it. And it wasn't difficult. Honestly, it was difficult to like leave my friends. And if I felt bad for like leaving the company and like leaving them hanging and stuff, but like for me personally, it was the right decision to make and I could have made any other decision than that.
Mm. So the other one, take me through the other situations like that, moving to Austin.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make a difficult decision like that? And how do you move so quickly? Because a lot of people are sitting on that. So mm-hmm. What would you tell that person who's sitting on the difficult decision for too long?
Yeah. Man, I would say that you really have to like assess like your current situation and how your situation is going to change by making the decision that you're going to make, right? And so a famous thing that people say is like, a lot of people don't change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. And I think that when you're in that place, you will know. Mm. And so I guess my advice would be, and this is actually something I've done for decision making, is like, I'll have like a piece of paper and I'll draw like a line down the middle and I'll do pros and cons of the decision I'm making. And after you do that, if you start actually doing that, like the decision becomes immediately obvious of what it is. So that's helped me with making decisions. But also like, if somebody knows like in their heart, like I want to make this decision and they know it's the right decision, like that's your answer. And I think you just have to make it, because if you don't make it, that's when resentment's going to creep in, right? And you're going to have regret. And I think that's like the worst place to be, is like in this state of like non-action and having resentment around it.
Yeah. One thing that I realized was that non-action is actually a decision.
Yeah.
You're actually making a decision not to act in that moment. And when I realized that, it was kind of like a light bulb for me.
Yeah.
But going back to you, take me through why 295 wasn't the decision that sparked it, but 305 was.
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't even say it was 305 exactly that sparked it, but more so like a life event that happened probably right around that period of time of weighing 305. And every time I ever explain like the catalyst of like what got me started, it's like, it's not embarrassing, but it's like the most stereotypical like 17-year-old thing to ever happen. And so at the time I was like kind of semi talking to this girl, in high school. Right. And, she had gone to homecoming with me and like, I really liked her and I thought that like, she liked me in that way too. And she didn't do anything wrong. Like I was creating the whole story in my head. But then when that conversation came up, like her response was like the most friend-zoned response ever. It was like, oh, I do like you, just not like that, right? And so at that moment, if you would have looked up like friend-zoned in like the Urban Dictionary, there's just like a picture of me. And you know, at the time, I was already very upset with my way. I didn't really know what to do, though. Like, all my extended family struggled with their way. I grew up in a very small town in southern Ohio. So, like, fitness wasn't really a thing, right? People didn't really care about their health. And so I just assumed, like, this is going to be my life, right? But for some reason, that was, like, the final straw for me. And it kicked me immediately into gear. And I, like, went from, like, one extreme immediately to the other. Now, after, like, a month of this, once I started seeing results, like then I started to get more hooked on the results of things, because before that I had like tried and failed so many different approaches and never even like saw any physical changes. But with this time around, like when I did see those physical changes happening, like everything shifted more like intrinsic, I guess, in terms of like motivation. And that's what kind of kept me going. And I always tell people too, like, one huge advantage I had at the time was like, didn't have a job, didn't have kids, right? Didn't have a lot of like bad habits already like ingrained in me, which is why when I'm working with clients, right, we always address those things first and create realistic expectations for what's going to happen. But, you know, for me, I think it was just a moment of like stars aligning, like the right motivation, the right time, the right type of, you know, drive that I had at that time in my life. So,
yeah, it was interesting hearing about how you navigated through your college experience as well. When I was doing research for this,
yeah,
how it kind of held you back, where you wouldn't party, you wouldn't, you know, eat foods because you were now had your ideal body and were so motivated with fitness that mm-hmm. it kind of sabotaged you in a way.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say that it was because I was so motivated with fitness more than I had so much fear mm-hmm. of losing what I had gained. So for anyone listening, basically I lost all of my weight between like my junior and senior year of high school. And so whenever I went off to college, I wasn't like Carter who lost a ton of weight, right? Like that was sort of my identity in high school. I was just this person named Carter, right? Who is in college now. And so I definitely had a bit of an identity crisis. And in high school too, like the fact that my dad was a pastor, at a very like religious family, and like we were very popular family, I guess. Like my mom was like in the, like the Hall of Fame at the school. And so like people knew who we were. And so that already kind of kept me from like partying or doing anything like bad in high school. And so in college, it was like the combination of like, I had never really socialized that way with like my peers. And the fact that like, I had all this fear around losing the progress that I'd already made, that I didn't really do anything in college. And it was honestly probably one of the like more depressive states of my life. I wouldn't say that I was necessarily depressed, but one of the more down periods of my life. So much so that like, you know, my senior year, I was just hanging out in my dorm room all day long, every single day. I would go to the gym, I'd go to class, I'd go to the cafeteria, and I would just come home. And it was weird how like I almost didn't even have motivation to like go out and meet other people. I think I was just already in like the fear of like what could happen and whatever it was, just like kept me from even having the desire to go out and do these things. And it's also why, so my sophomore year, I thought the fix would be I'd become an RA. And so I became an RA my sophomore year, which was cool. And I kind of had some like RA friends, but they never really became my good friends. And a lot of it was because I stopped myself from like being vulnerable with them and all this stuff. And so, yeah, college was tough the time that I was there. And honestly, though, it probably is what motivated me to join the internship, because I wasn't having a great time in college anyways. But so there's always like a silver lining in like the things that we do. But yeah, no, college was tough for that. And I think it's just because I had such an identity wrapped around fitness that I was like scared to do anything that would hurt that identity.
Yeah. Where'd that kind of end for you? Because now you're a social guy, it seems like. You got friends. You're talking about your story on all these podcasts. It doesn't seem like the same type of person who would be scared of what other people would think and just be in their own head so much. So like, did that change? And if so, how and when did that change occur?
Yeah, I think a lot of it changed whenever I joined this internship. So I ended up moving in with like four guys who I'm still great friends with to this day. And all of us were like, the reason that we were in this internship is because we were in the same Facebook group that basically was teaching you how to build a blog to make like 4K a month, right? That was the whole idea around it. And so they were already very growth-minded guys, very like self-aware and like cared about self-development and all this stuff. And I think that whenever we all got in this house together, because it was like a very, you know, growth-oriented environment, it was easy to sort of talk about it and like work through it and get other people's input on it and advice. And so I think the surrounding myself with people who were like growth-minded and who cared about, you know, self-development and being better was a huge win for me, because I did care about those stuff, that stuff, but I felt like because it was just me trying to do it, I struggled to do it in all the areas of my life. And so I think being around that energy really, really helped me with finding a better balance.
Yeah, you had that energy online. You would look up blogs and and be active on bodybuilding.com and all this stuff. But it was like once you had it in real life, then it became a whole different story for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think you can definitely find it online, right? With talking with people and like, you know, even like reading blogs and finding groups, finding like-minded people. But there's something powerful about like physically being around those people. That saying of like, you are the five people you surround yourself with, especially physically. And that moment, like realizing how powerful it was, kind of has led to a lot of decisions being made with the intention to be around these types of people. Like that was the entire Austin move decision. It was like, of course, I wanted to live in Austin, but the real reason was because I wanted to be around people who were doing what I was doing, to be around that energy.
Hmm. So take me through, when did you move to Austin? How has that gone for you? I'm considering a move to Austin myself, so
yes,
well, sell me on it.
Yeah, you definitely should. Everybody shouldn't. So like only a select few, but you definitely can. As many, more the merrier. But I moved down here May of 2020. So it was like a couple months after the pandemic had officially hit. I was living in Columbus, Ohio with my girlfriend at the time. And we were already going to move down here. Like my friends who I lived in Florida with, for that internship lived here. So that was a big catalyst to come here. But I think that, when the pandemic hit, it was just like, we were ready to get out. And so we had to drive anyways, cause we had three cats. And so we drove like 22 hours straight from Columbus, Ohio to here. And yeah, man, it's been awesome. The longer I live here, you know, the people you meet, it's crazy. Like yesterday I was going to a coffee shop, or rather Friday I was going to a coffee shop, and I was walking down the bridge and like Tim Ferriss was just on the pod. He was like talking to somebody on the phone, so I didn't want to say anything, but I've like seen him like twice because he like lives in downtown Austin. Like just like the people here are, there's a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool shit in Austin. And so, yeah, like the decision to move here was like definitely validated since I've been down here so far.
Yeah. So it sounds like, speaking of Tim Ferriss, like you have one foot in the fitness world, but also like one foot in the self-development and like deeper, like using fitness as a means to grow as a person.
Yeah.
Take me through that journey.
Yeah. You know, I think of, you know, a lot of what I do, especially from a business standpoint, is very focused on fitness and a lot of like beginner fitness stuff. But one of the things that I love about fitness, and I've seen this, and I'm sure you can relate to what I'm about to say, and I see this in a lot of people who are very much into like self-development and stuff, is it's one thing that everyone has the ability to do, right? And it's a very physical thing, and there's a clear outline of how to do it. And I believe that for a lot of people, fitness can be the first stepping stone into other areas of their life, right? So for me, fitness was definitely the first step into thinking about starting my own business, right? Thinking about like personal development and like working through my own, you know, problems and things, and, you know, even like relationship, like, you know, growth and development stuff. So I think it's a great beginning place for a lot of people. And like the things that you learn in fitness, the discipline, right? Of like, you know, going to the gym every week, like eating, you know, the right foods, the patience of like knowing that results don't happen immediately. Those things translate over into really everything in life that we want to achieve. So I think it's a very like realistic thing for people to do first. And it gives them the confidence to maybe make some of those changes in other areas of their life.
Yeah. This podcast is 100% just a result of me going to the gym four times a week when I started in 2017.
Yeah.
But you learn you could do that and build it for any habit you do, which is a beautiful thing. And then, so does it ever bother you that you've kind of grown past that idea? Or, you know, for me, I thought about becoming a personal trainer, but I said to myself, like, I don't know if I want to devote all my time and energy into a skill that I've learned. Not to discount it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But does that ever hold you back in any way or anything like that?
Yeah, man, definitely. This is a really good question. You know, I don't necessarily know if it holds me back, but I'll be honest in saying that, like, I have, like, struggled, especially in, like, the last year or so, with, like, feeling as passionate, I suppose, about fitness as I have before. And especially, like, being a content creator, right, and having a page that's really devoted to fitness. At times, it's felt a little bit like a chore, I guess, to put this information out. And I say that, obviously, recognizing that, like, what I get to do is incredible, right? And I'm super blessed to be in the situation that I am. But no, it's definitely a thing. And I've actually only, like, recently sort of reframed my mindset around it. You know, one thing is, although I may not be as passionate about fitness as I used to be, I'm still very passionate about helping people and in whatever facet that is. And so for me, that's fitness, right? And I clearly have, like, influence in that. And a lot of people look up to me for their advice in that area. And so it shifted from being needing it to be a passion more than to be, like, a responsibility in a sense, and like a duty. And then also I've shifted my mind away from, like, I guess I've shifted away from needing my career to be incredibly filled with passion all the time right now. And I think we go through stages, right? And, you know, for me, it's, I would think, okay, well, if I didn't want to do fitness anymore, like, what could I do, right? And I don't really have an answer to that yet. And so until there's an answer to that, like, I'm going to keep doing this because it's helping people. And even shifting my mind away from thinking I have to be passionate about it, and more just, like, I'm passionate about business. Mm. And so building a business is really fun, right? And even changing my role up too. And so, like, recently I've completely stopped taking on clients because I just, you know, realized, one, it was a disservice to them because I'm putting so much focus on building this business and doing content. But two, because I've lost some of the passion and, like, doing the fitness stuff for other people, I've been bringing on coaches who are very passionate about it, right? And as a result, I'm getting trainers to have, you know, awesome careers working online, sort of getting the benefits of, like, the entrepreneur lifestyle without having to do a lot of the risk. And also the clients are getting better results because they have somebody who's really passionate about helping people and coaching them do it. And so it's been a little bit of a journey to get to that place, but I'm feeling really good right now in the sense of just, like, taking it, you know, one day at a time, seeing how I'm feeling and really focusing more on the bigger vision of it and not just focusing on myself, right? Because the more I'm focused on how I'm feeling the business, that's whenever I start to, like, creep into, like, I'm not having fun or whatever it is. But the more I focus on, hey, I have a big team who rely on me. There are people we're helping. Whenever I make it bigger than myself, I make it more about the mission. That's helped immensely with, like, getting through that trap.
Yeah. Seth Godin talks about the idea of, you have a plumber. A plumber mm-hmm. isn't passionate, might not be passionate about doing the dishes and doing the things that they need to do on any mm-hmm. given day, but they still show up and do it because that's what they are paid for. And so if you think about that for a content creator, it's like, people are coming to your page because they expect a certain thing. Mm-hmm. It's like almost your duty, like you said, to give them that thing, and how valuable that is that you can still keep going and find a way to think of it as bigger than you while you're in that. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I think that's, like, oftentimes I feel like when we are feeling down or, like, unhappy in situations, I feel like a lot of times it's because we're thinking a little too selfishly about situations and not thinking about the impact of what we're doing, yeah. Right? So yeah, for anyone maybe who's in that kind of a situation of, like, passionate things, maybe focus a little bit on, like, the impact of what you're doing, right? And I think it really helps when you make it bigger than yourself.
So where has that passion gone, if at anywhere else? Like, where have you focused? You said business, mm-hmm. but take me through, like, how you discovered or how you realized the love for business and or anything else.
Yeah. So I think the love for business was kind of already there whenever I got started with my company. And it's still definitely there. But I feel like my love for business is different probably than a lot of people or at least some people who are, like, really big into business. Because for me, it's not necessarily about, like, power and even money to a degree. It's really more about freedom. And I think that for a while, I thought that more money meant more freedom with my business. But what I've realized recently, it's like more time is more freedom, right? Obviously. And you can make a lot of money, but also not have a lot of time. And so I think a lot of the decisions I've been making in business have been for that. And to get back to your question of like, what's passionate for me right now, honestly, what's been passionate for me is the thing that was missing from my life for like the first 23, 24 years, which is just like really just like having friends, socializing, like community and all these things. And you know, in Austin, there's like so many people who I've met and who I'm now connected with. And a lot of my time now, you know, on weekends and even throughout the week are spent doing things with the people I love and care about. Even if that means, you know, shutting off work at 5 p.m. every night, no exception, right? Like unplug Saturdays, no phone no computer comes out on Saturday or Sunday, right? Doing these things and then going out with friends, like doing picnics, paddleboarding, just going to dinner, right? Spending time with my girlfriend, spending time with my friends. I've really made that a priority going into this year. And you know, funny enough, it's made work better for me. My time is more efficient because I have less time. I have to be more efficient with things. But that's really sort of been the shift recently. Has been a lot of my passion has been in just other people, and especially my people.
Where does your vulnerability come from? You talked about being 305 pounds. You talk about that story, talk about not having friends. These are things that a lot of people would struggle to bring up to another person, let alone talk about on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like where does that vulnerability come from?
Yeah. You know, I'm not 100% sure where it comes from, like as like a single point, but I think a lot of it comes from, so when I was like a kid growing up, I had a great, you know, home life, like mom who loved me, dad who loved me. But my dad was a pastor, like I said, and mom was like obviously a big name person in like the small town we were in. And I think that early on, image was really important in our family, you know, and like how you appear to people. And I feel like that sort of kept me in this mindset of like not always being myself and more so being who I thought people needed me to be. And because if I was a certain person, I would get rewarded for doing that. And so that sort of stuck with me, and it sticks with a lot of people, right? Even through adulthood, is like putting on a mask, right? Like not always being themselves. And that definitely kept me from wanting to meet new people and socialize because one, I wasn't sure who I needed to be for them, but two, I didn't necessarily know who I was because I was always playing somebody else for different people. And really just like in the last 2 years through like, I started seeing like a therapist and like making these realizing these things about myself rather. Yeah. Because I don't think a lot of people necessarily pick up on the fact that they act differently depending on who they're with or how much they really care about other people liking them and doing things. And so only like recently have I sort of started to just focus on what I want and through doing that, finding the people who actually like me for who I am. I think that's been the game changer for me. And it's also allowed me to like feel comfortable, I think, like sharing my vulnerabilities and things. Maybe because like I feel like I'm a little bit past it now. And so it's easier to think about like what I used to struggle with versus like sharing it in the moment on like a podcast. But I also think it's really important too because I know that so many people struggle with that, struggle with like their identity and like really being themselves regardless of what people will think.
Yeah. So like you mentioned going to a therapist, what other ways have you become more yourself?
So therapy has been really huge. Journaling has been awesome.
Why? You
know, why has journaling been awesome? Yeah. I think because I can get lost in my own thoughts and like not always think logically in my own head. And so I feel like when I journal, especially with like a prompt, like one of the prompts I loved is actually from my friend, Sean McDevitt at Fitness Shaman for people listening. It was basically like the ideal you journal prompt, right? So basically it could be 5 years from now, like what are you doing on a daily basis? What are your habits? Like where are you at in business? What are your relationships like? Just something very like, you can think about what it is and like write out the goals essentially, really helped me because it allowed me to like get out of my head what it is I wanted and then have a reminder on like a regular basis of like being able to look back, hey, these are the things I wrote out for myself. Like these are the things that I want. And it keeps me focused on moving closer to those things and not letting like insecurities or uncertainties creep into like my decision-making on a day-to-day basis. So I think that's why journaling has helped me.
And the therapy, what's that given you?
I'm definitely like a, out loud thinker, like with talking. And so I think the reason therapy's helped me the most is that because I sometimes struggle to make decisions on things, or I'm always thinking about like both sides of problems, especially like with myself or what decisions I want to make for myself. I think having somebody else who's hearing me talk about these things out loud, who I trust, right, can basically come back at me with saying, well, you said this, and then you said this. It helps me, I think, with making decisions and like making realizations about myself that may get clouded because of like uncertainty or maybe like some insecurities that I'm having. So that's where like therapy has been like a huge win for me. Just having somebody who gets to listen to you talk about yourself, and then from a different perspective, right, who's not caught up in all of it, look for more of like the logic behind it or the reasoning behind it.
What was the reason you started to go to therapy?
I would say it was probably because it actually didn't start until like maybe like 2 years ago. I decided to do it because I was in this place where I was like doing, from the outside looking in, like I was doing incredibly well. Like I, you know, had an awesome career that was like, you know, going off. I had this big Instagram. I had all these friends. I was doing all these things, but there was like something in like side of me was missing. And I was almost like embarrassed by the fact that I wasn't feeling fulfilled and happy in what I was doing. And I honestly like didn't know what it was. Like I, no matter how many books I read or whatever it was, like I just felt like it just kept coming back up. And for me, I just think it met this point where I just needed to get help from somebody else. And a lot of my friends encouraged me to do it because a lot of my friends do therapy, right? And I think that like, I read more about like people who I looked up to who do therapy. And so like, it wasn't as like stigmatized. I think I kind of thought like, if I get a therapist, is there something wrong with me? Like, are people going to think something? But the more I realized, oh wait, you can just have a therapist. Even when things are going well, you should have like, I think a therapist or someone you're talking to on a regular basis. And so I think losing the stigma around that and getting encouragement to do it from others and just being in that place where I was like, I don't know what to do. I need some help from somebody is like what got me to do it.
Yeah. It's fascinating. We go to the gym for our physical health when we are feeling good and when we're feeling bad, both. We only go to therapy usually when we're feeling bad. Yeah. But why? It's like our mental health is as important, if not more important, than our physical health. So like, what can we do to prevent or to work on our mental health when we're feeling good or okay, so that we don't need to go to therapy, or so that we are in a better place mentally all the time? What comes to mind for you?
Man, I think you have to have a like personal development routine in some way. And I'm a big like morning routine person. You know, whenever you do it doesn't matter, I guess, but I will stick to the fact that I think everyone should have a morning routine whenever they get up. They have to have something where like the first at least like 15 to 20 minutes are all about you, right? And whether it's could be planning your day, it could be journaling, could be like meditating and reading. I think you have to keep yourself in the habit of mental growth and mental expansion in order to, one, stay in that positive headspace, but two, to catch things before they become major issues. I think that's it, because everything's based around like, you know, because people get in a bad headspace because they slowly allow themselves to like get into bad habits of like things they're doing in their life or being around certain people or thinking certain things, and they build up and build up and build up until they're a major problem. But it's the same thing in the opposite direction, right? When you are constantly, you know, reviewing your mental state and like journaling and meditating and like reading things and expanding your mind, you get into that habit of doing that. It keeps you, I feel, in that higher place, right? The higher vibration place in your mind where you can maybe start to think, is this somebody I want to keep associating with? Or I feel like I'm really... In my relationship, there's a problem. I should definitely bring it up now, right? Instead of burying it down. I think just keeping yourself in a positive habit loop is the best way to keep yourself there. Yeah.
One of your favorite books, Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
I heard that you get your Kindle highlights, and on the Kindle highlights, they get sent to your phone or something, so that you get those. I thought that was pretty cool. What app is that?
Yeah, so it's an app called Readwise.
Readwise.
And what it does is it pulls, I think it does like iBooks and Kindle and a bunch of other ones, but basically just pulls all of your, all of like your highlights and stuff from that you've got from books. Because that's something for me, like I used to do, I mean, I still like getting physical books and I would like take notes in physical books, but like I never reviewed them. Like I never went back to it. And I wasn't like that person who was going to make like flashcards and do it that way. I didn't care that much. And so I saw one of my friends have the Readwise app. It basically pulls, like I said, pulls all of your highlights in. And every day it gives you like, you can look at like 5 to 10 or whatever of like your highlights, and like you can either like them, you can like categorize them. And so I have like tags of like whether it's like, you know, fitness information or whatever it is, right? Different tags to organize these things. And so it actually becomes, I feel like, usable, especially with that little daily review, because like every once in a while I'll get a quote like from Atomic Habit or something, and it will inspire a piece of content for that day, or just like be a great reminder for like a place that I'm in or whatever. So yeah, anyone who does Kindles, definitely like get that app. It's like $2 I think a month or something, but it actually makes your highlights usable versus just things that you do because you feel cool that you're highlighting the book and you never even return back to use it. So
yeah, you bring up content, and I'm sure you use all those to create better content. When you first blew up on Instagram, it was a very short period of time from doing research, and you gained like 300,000 followers in a very short amount of time. What does that do to your psyche, your mental psyche? How did you change as a result to the increased exposure and attention?
Yeah. You know, it was like when it was happening. So I had like been posting content for almost like 9 months, maybe like a year before like anything really stuck. Right. And then I had like one post that was like, you know, that blew up, like another big fitness account shared it. And kind of from there, like I found something that worked. Right. And like there's a book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. They say you either need to be the best in the category or you need to be the first in a category. Right. And so I was the first in a category on Instagram where I was posting infographics. No one had really done that on social media before yet. And so that's when I, you know, went from 10,000 followers or whatever to like 300,000 followers in like 6 months or maybe a little bit less. And honestly, like when it was happening, I mean, it was definitely validating. It was obviously really good for business. And it was like, it felt like a weight off my back of like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Like I can do this. It honestly didn't really feel like that strange in terms of like the follower count. And I'm not sure why. I think it was because at the time I was living like in the house I grew up in a small town. And so like, social media then wasn't even that big of a deal, but like, I think because I wasn't in a big city where like people are doing what I'm doing and stuff, I didn't really hit me until like, honestly, even until like I moved to Austin and like, I'd be walking out and like people would maybe recognize me or something, or people would like be shocked when they saw it and stuff. That was like the first time I was like, oh, I forgot. Like, this is kind of like a cool thing that people are like, you know, if you don't have a big account, it's like, whoa, that's crazy. But yeah, for me, it didn't really like do anything, I guess, like in my mind. The only thing is maybe it has at times made it difficult for me to like share my personality on social media a bit, just out of, because again, like going back to that like vulnerability that I've had, even though I've worked on it immensely, it's still like there, right? It's still something that's like, you know, can pop its head out every once in a while. I think that sometimes I get a little fearful of sharing too much about myself because there's so many people watching, and knowing that by sharing myself, like I'm going to upset some people, right? Or they're not going to agree with what I have to say, or whatever it is. So sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge. But for the most part, I don't find it too difficult, actually. Yeah.
Why do you think you're uncomfortable sometimes being yourself to all those people?
I think it goes back to like the fear of them not liking me and like not pleasing people, right? And being afraid of like somebody out there thinking like badly of me, which when I say it out loud is like a silly thought, because there's always going to be people, like there's people who follow me now who don't like me, right? For whatever reason, like there's nothing I can do about it. And so saying it, every time you say something like that out loud, it's like, obviously you shouldn't worry about that, but it's still there. And I think that like, yeah, just that people pleaser thing that was so ingrained in me, I think, as a kid sometimes is there. And like, you know, it's at one point the excuse was, well, it wouldn't be good for business, which is not true, because like, if you're for everybody, you're for no one. Right. And so actually showing where my personality would actually help my business and my brand. But yeah, sometimes it's still a challenge. And I think it's just cause I have this fear of like saying the wrong thing and it being public and huge and it like blowing up or something. Right. And even though cancel culture is sort of like slowly dying, like there's still that fear of like, what if I say something and I fuck up and then, you know, everyone cancels me. I don't even know. Right. So I think that underlying fear keeps me from like always sharing like personal details about myself.
Who would you be without that belief?
Without like the fear?
Yeah.
Man, I would say probably more of myself. I mean, like feeling like more of myself on social media. At least other people would know more about me. And I feel like I definitely have probably a stronger tribe of people who really supported me. And it would probably leak into like my everyday life too, right? Like, you know, I can do this on social media for 450,000 people. I can also do it in my real life on a day-to-day basis. And so the net positive would probably be a net positive, right? And so this is a good therapy session for me to have right now. But yeah, it probably would lead to me feeling more confident in the content I create and how I present myself. Yeah.
Take me through the moments you felt most proud or most confident when creating content.
Yeah. I would say whenever I've created content, because like social media content, right, is very quick. It's very snappy. It's not long form like a podcast is, right? Oftentimes you post on social media or on like Instagram to get someone to listen to the podcast, right? So it's a very like quick, you know, form of media. And so sometimes I think with fitness, it leads people to create content that's not really, really, I feel like helpful for people. It's more like attention grabbing, right? Or like aha moments and things. So I think the content I'm the most proud of is whenever I've had people DM me and it's a piece of content that is more complete that could actually be used and people could take away from it and start implementing it into their life. And so the moments when people have read a piece of content like that and told me, hey, this piece of content helped me, you know, lose 30 pounds in the last couple of months. So anytime someone has like reached out to me to tell me that they have seen an actual improvement in their life from having my content and be able to put it into action, I think that's when I've been the most proud of like the content I've made.
Yeah. Like the first time you ever realized I could be a coach was when somebody DM'd you.
Yeah.
And take us through that story.
Yeah. So it was actually this guy named Mark who eventually became a client. But I was still at this internship and we had just gotten off like our 9 to 5 in the internship and I started my 5 to 9 in my bedroom on my laptop writing a blog. And I was like doing the whole thing and then I got like a ping on like Instagram. And I wasn't really using Instagram at this point, but I had posted some fitness content and it was a message from this guy named Mark. And he just said, "Hey man, just wanted you to know that like I've been following you ever since I had like my transformation shared on like Quest Nutrition or something or bodybuilding.com. And he just said, just want you to know that like I saw your transformation and I like was implementing the advice that you gave and I was able to lose 74 pounds doing it. And like that moment, it was like, that was really the moment along with like the dinner with Mike. But like, I think that moment, those two moments together, like made it happen, made me realize, oh, I can do this. And this is the path to doing it. But it was the first time I felt so accomplished and like the work that I was doing that didn't like receive like a grade in school, right? It was like the first like I'm an adult accomplishment that I had felt up to that point. And I think that feeling is what made me realize this is what I need to do. And I know that I can help people do this because I've already helped one person. And if I can help this person, I know I can help more people.
How do you not let that feeling go away when you are now coaching tens, hundreds of clients, and somebody's telling you, "I lost 60 pounds because of you and I changed my life." How do you make sure that that feeling feels similar to the first message of the guy losing 74 pounds?
Yeah. I think in some ways, the first time it happened, I think a lot of the feeling was I was obviously very happy for him. But I think I was also very happy for myself in a sense, right? There was like my own happiness that came from his accomplishment and like my doing in that process for him. So there was a lot of like ego, I guess, involved in that. And not necessarily in a bad way. And I think though, over time, the more I've seen the people I've helped, I don't think that my like happiness for them has changed at all, because, you know, every single time it's a different story, right, of how they got there. And it's not easy for anybody, right? Whether you're a 17-year-old kid like I was, or you're like, you know, 40-year-old mom with kids and a full-time job, like it's always going to be hard. But I think different situations make it more difficult for that person. And so I'm always wildly impressed and very happy for people. You know, for myself, I think I'm always very proud, but it's almost like I feel like I've kind of like gained the confidence in myself to know, like, I know how to help people and I know how to do this. And so if anything, it's mostly that I'm proud that they trusted me and what I, you know, was telling them to do. I think that feeling stays more than anything else. Yeah.
And when you look back on the specific people you've helped, other than the first one, are there any people who stand out on the journey that you've been on or like, wow, that person, I can't believe that they overcame that circumstance, or like, has that happened at all for you where like a few stand out?
Yeah, a few definitely stand out. Like one I'm thinking of right now is actually my assistant coach, Amy. So she actually started with me as a client back in like early 2018. And she had like an incredible transformation, like working with me. You know, she was like a mom, who had like kind of recently at the time, like been in a divorce. And so she was like looking to make this change and stuff. That was kind of the catalyst for her to do this. And she had like two kids who were like in high school at the time. And so she had this awesome transformation, but through this fitness transformation that she had, she started to rethink some of the things that she was doing in her life. And so, you know, I would still see her always commenting on my posts. She joined like my free Facebook group. And then one day she reached out and just said, hey, like, if you ever need any help with things, let me know. And I think at the time I like asked her to like help reply to people's comments in like our Facebook group and on my, you know, Instagram post. And it's slowly turned into now she is like one of the head coaches on my team. She also does a lot of stuff with the community, and she actually quit her other job to work full time for me, you know, in her 50s, right? And so like that to me really, I think, is one of the most standout transformations, because it kind of goes back to like my own journey of like, you know, there was the fitness part, but that was a catalyst for doing a lot of other things, like starting my own business and taking these big leaps, right? These kind of scary jumps. And I saw her do that as well. I saw that fitness was the catalyst for her to like say, hey, I'm actually not happy in the career I currently have, and I want to do this thing. And then, you know, going out and doing it and putting in the work to do that. I think that really stands out to me, because it's sort of like what embodies, I think, fitness can do for people, like what they can get by prioritizing themselves and how it can impact other areas of their life.
Change your entire perception of life.
Yeah.
So we mentioned and we talked about the business piece of it and how you found a lot of joy from that. What have you learned from growing your business that is similar or different to losing an incredible amount of weight and keeping it off?
Yeah, I'd say probably the biggest thing is just the two big things. One is like the power of doing just enough consistently over time. And so for anyone who's lost weight or is trying to build a business, right, it's like there's never like a point when everything flips, right? It's like the slow grind of like doing the things you need to do on a regular basis to over time slowly get results, right? And so I think that's a very obvious, like, you know, parallel there. But I think another one is being able to like mess up and have mistakes and things. And the response to that is really the most important thing. So with fitness, right, you know, people will have a, like, they'll go into the weekend with a plan of staying on track, and then one thing leads to another, and they ended up, you know, overeating one day and like missing their targets. And what a lot of people do who struggle is they will react negatively to that, right? And sort of say, well, I can't do this. Like, I don't have any discipline. And they'll let it lead to more poor decisions, right? And actually, it'll actually have a big impact. But the people who are successful are able to look at that and say, okay, didn't go according to plan. Can I learn anything from this? And what am I going to do moving forward? It's the same thing with business, right? Like, you know, if you started a business and after 3 months, like, you weren't making any money or something, or let's say that you were making all this money and then 1 month you like didn't make any, right? Like something happened and like ads didn't work or whatever it was. if you basically said, well, I'm not good at this, I suck, and then just stopped, right? Then that's not going to work. You have to like innovate. Okay, why didn't it work? What did I do wrong? You might have to take some personal responsibility in it. And you have to get back to doing what was working as quickly as possible. I think those are probably the biggest two parallels. And it takes a lot of mental toughness and like honesty with yourself, right? Because a lot of times the mistakes we make both in business and in fitness are our mistake, right? Like it's something that we didn't plan for or we didn't see coming or whatever it is. And so you have to be able to own that without getting down on yourself, right? So you can't just sink into like self-hatred and disappointment with yourself, but more so say, hey, this happened. How can I be better from this? And what can I do moving forward so that it doesn't happen again or it's less likely to happen again?
Was that a difficult situation for you? Were you feeling self-hatred or self-loathing mm-hmm. when everything was going right on the outside mm-hmm. and internally you weren't feeling whole?
I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily like self-hatred, but definitely like confusion because I didn't necessarily feel on the inside like I feel like I was portraying on the outside or people or even how I felt I should be feeling. I was almost more frustrated with myself, I think, than like upset with myself. Cause I was like, you have all this, you know, all these boxes are checked. Like, why aren't you happier with where you're at right now? And so it was definitely a thing, though. I think what made it more difficult was it wasn't as easy to pinpoint exactly why I felt that way. I think that's why like mental health is such a complex topic, right? Because in business, if you're not making money, there's a reason why. There's a statistic, right? There's like, yeah. You can look at the numbers. Same thing with fitness. Like, let's look at the numbers. Like, are you actually doing what you need to be doing? But mental health is like, you know, so many different factors can impact it. And so I think feeling like I was in a place where like I should be happy right now, but I'm not, was almost like more frustrating than anything else.
Do you think it's because society gives us these standards or, you know, it's cool to have a lot of followers on Instagram. It's cool to be jacked. It's cool to have a business that's really successful. But a lot of times people do all those things and they don't find internal peace.
Yeah.
So do you think we need to reframe what is actually cool? And if you do think we do, how should we go about reframing what's cool?
Yeah, this is a big question for a fitness coach. but I think absolutely, and I cannot remember like where I read this, but it was something called like the capitalism trap or something. And it's just this idea that like we are conditioned to always needing more, right? Like you need more money, you need a bigger business, you need more followers and more and more and more. And it can definitely provide some satisfaction, but if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, especially if the reason is just like, you know, the fact that you need to keep achieving things to feel good about yourself, like it's going to be a constant struggle, you know, in your life. And it's going to just keep getting worse and worse. And something that I've been really trying to focus on and get better at is learning to be happy with enough, right? And enough means like, you know, I have enough money to do the things that I want to do, right? And I don't need more or, you know, whatever it is, like not always feeling like things need to be better or I need to keep growing in all these different areas. Because there's going to be some areas where like, you probably do grow because you're really good at it, right? Or you enjoy doing it. But I think this need to do it in every area, you need to make more money, all this is what can be challenging. And I think it keeps people in this state of like never feeling like they're enough. And when you never feel like you're enough, it can motivate you to like do more things and work harder. But I also think it never lets you just feel good about yourself. And that trickles into everything, right? It trickles into like how you carry yourself, your relationships, like where your mind's at, how you actually enjoy your day-to-day life. And I think that if we could get more people on board with like being able to feel good about where they're at right now, regardless of like the circumstance, it doesn't mean that they're content and they don't want to get better, but like they can be happy with where they're at and enjoy it, then you're going to get more people like just being happier, right? And making more connections and probably through doing this, growing more in the right direction.
Yeah. It's interesting because I, up until probably a couple of days ago, would have 100% agreed with that. And now I probably 90% agree with that. And the reason why is because I read this book called Hero on a Mission.
Okay.
Hero on a Mission by Donald Miller. And it talks about the idea of how we need to be on a mission to have meaning and purpose. And being on a mission is kind of opposing to the idea of feeling good just being here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would love to have Donald Miller in here to talk about this as well.
Yeah.
But like,
we should just call him up.
I wish I had his number. But what do you say? Is it possible perhaps that when you felt at your lowest point, you didn't have a mission that you were on and therefore you couldn't feel at peace or you couldn't feel good because you had already achieved all these different missions?
I think absolutely. And I completely agree. I'm like all about like the hero's journey and like having a mission and a purpose in life, right? And the importance of that. And so maybe even the best way to say it would be, I think most people are focused on achieving things that they don't actually want. They think that they want them, right? Like they think that they want more money or they think that they want the big business.
Has that happened to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with like money, right? Because like, you know, I love making money and like I would love to make more money. But I realized that like more money didn't always translate into more happiness, especially what I really wanted, which was like freedom, right? The ability to do what I wanted to do. And more money can help with that, but not if you're spending 80 hours a week trying to build a business and doing it all yourself and not like actually creating time to be free, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably where a lot of people get in trouble is like they spend so much time trying to like grow and, you know, excel in these areas that like they maybe don't actually care as much about if they were honest with themselves, because if they were growing in something that they truly love and enjoy, then I think it's probably a good thing, right? It's a good thing to like excel and to, you know, get bigger and better, whatever that thing is. You just have to know what that is for yourself. And, you know, for some people, it might be business. I think for a lot of people, maybe it's not, even though they're trying to pretend it is, right? Or for whatever it is. So,
How did you come to the understanding that freedom was your number one priority?
I think that like, I'm not sure, actually. I think I've always, though, enjoyed having options and not feeling like I was tied down maybe to things that like didn't serve me or that I didn't want to do, maybe. I think that was like definitely my biggest like the reason I wanted to build a business at the time was because I wanted to have the freedom of being able to like go and do what I want to do and everything. And so I think that for me, I think it's like a realization that like we do have limited time on earth, and I want to be able to spend as much time as I can doing like what I want to do, not necessarily like in a selfish way where I'm like hurting other people, but like I want to be able to like spontaneously make a decision to go to Europe for 3 weeks or to, change up where I'm working today or move cities or do these things. I think that that freedom for me brings me a lot of joy and excitement in life. And yeah, I think that's why like I've made that sort of the focus of what I want to do for myself.
Yeah. My friend Zach, Behavior Hack on Instagram, talks about all the best content in the world is just telling people that they're going to die. Like, and just reminding them that they are, because when you realize that we have limited time here on earth, it really makes you prioritize the important things, the things that you want to be doing. Yeah. And if you're not doing them, then you realize, because a lot of times we go throughout life and we assume that it's going to go forever. You know, sometimes I've looked at my own behavior and I look at other people's behavior and I say, wow, I am acting as if this is going to go forever. Mm-hmm. Would I really have that conversation with my grandpa if I knew I would only see him 100 more times, right?
Yeah.
And it's deep and it hurts sometimes, but to really confront yourself with that truth makes you value the moment that you're in and makes you value what you're doing. So,
Well, I think it's too like an age is going to be a big factor in that. I know you're a big Joe Rogan fan. I know you shared a post from him today, but he was talking to like Douglas Murray, I think, and I'm going to get it wrong, but basically the saying was like, you know, the old and wise person, the advice to the young person is to tell them that like it goes by fast, right? And the biggest tragedy is that they're never going to believe them, right? Until it's too late. And so I think that it's normal, I think, right? To not think about the inevitable, right? Or that things are going to change or that you won't be doing this forever. I think like really one of the only ways you get there is through life experiences and through age, right? I would say I feel like we're doing a decent job trying to like make that realization, because I even think that way sometimes, like even though I know like this isn't going to be forever, right? And it's going to move fast. Like I'm not thinking about that all the time, and I don't necessarily feel it because I'm still young, right? Yeah. But I do try to like think about that, not to the extent where like I'm stressed about like time is running out, but more so making sure that everything that I'm doing is like what I want to be doing, right? And I'm not like being with people who don't serve me or doing things that don't bring me happiness, and not focused on those things, because that's the end of the day, like you need to do those things. And my biggest mission is like, I don't want to live in regret of like not doing things. And I think a lot of time that's been like one of the motivators for making some of the big decisions I've made in my life is like not wanting to like regret not doing it, right?
Yeah. What would your 8-year-old self think of your current actions as a framework that Jeff Bezos likes to use and employ?
Man, honestly, I think he'd be like pretty proud. I think he'd be pretty excited about like what I'm doing. And you know, I think because right now, I mean, I've been proud of myself for the decisions. It's also been something I've been working on, is like allowing myself to feel proud of myself, right? And to give myself credit for like the things that I've done, and like, you know, build myself up a little bit, right? Be a little bit cocky internally about the things I've done, right? Because I have made a lot of big decisions, and I have been able to accomplish a lot like very young. And so I would say that he would be pretty excited, I feel, for like the direction that we're going in. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And before we come to a close, I'd love to ask, like, what mission are you on right now? And what are you trying to achieve? Because, you know, I'm reading about Donald Miller and I'm curious about your own mission.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How would you characterize that?
Yeah, man, I would say that my mission right now, personally, is to experience as much life as I can. And more importantly, to experience that life being as present as I can. And really just whatever situation I'm in, whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, saying yes more often and being willing to really feel what's going on and feeling that experience, with the realization that, like, you know, you can do things, and if you don't like it, you never have to do it again. Right. And so you don't have to like sit in fear of like, oh, I might not like doing that or whatever. I try to say yes to all those things now, because I can always decide not to after I've done it. And so, but I might, you know, make a decision and it might lead to a huge change in my life, a huge positive change. And so for me, I think the mission at this stage of life is really to just continue experiencing life as best that I can, and be as present doing it.
What's an example of you saying yes to something and been surprised by how much you've enjoyed it?
Yeah. So something recently that I said yes to that is like, I haven't experienced it yet, but I know it's going to be incredible, is saying yes to a 3-week Europe trip. And so we're going to be going to this huge musical festival called Tomorrowland. So it's like one of the biggest like festivals. It's in Belgium, but we're going 3 weeks earlier to like, you know, travel Europe. So I've been to Europe once, but it was super quick. And this will be like 3 weeks, right? You're like living in Europe, and like, I had every, you know, excuse in the book to say, well, you know, I'm in Europe, that's like 6+ hours ahead. So like, how am I going to get work done? You know, I'll have just moved into a new apartment at this point. And so like, I'm going to literally not live in this new apartment for a whole month. All these things, right? I was convincing myself of why I shouldn't do it. But then I was thinking, like, why? Like, this is an amazing opportunity to go and do this with amazing friends. Like, why would you even not consider doing this when you have the chance to do it? And so, that's something that maybe I'll report back and say, was it a good decision or not? But it's something that I normally would not do, especially since I've started my business, put myself in a situation where now I'm going to have to be working over there from like 3 PM to 8 PM, right? When I'm a morning person. And so it's going to be a big shift for me, but you know, telling myself, hey, you can make it happen, right? Like, you don't need to like fall into this, like, you know, you're in a certain routine, a hermit crab thing. Like, you can adjust and you'll figure out how to adjust, and you'll get to have this incredible experience with your girlfriend and with like all of your friends. So
what made you say yes, where Carter of maybe 5 years ago would have said no?
I think the conditioning that I've gained from saying yes up to this point, like was saying yes to expanding my business beyond me, which is a huge fear, right? Like, hiring employees took a long time to get to that point. Deciding to move to Austin, having lived in Ohio my entire life. I think the conditioning I've got from making these bigger, scarier decisions got me to the point where, like, you know, this trip, I was like, I see no, you know, making my whole column thing again of the positives and negatives. Like, I see no negatives here. I only see positive experiences. And so it would be silly not to make this decision. And I know I'll be able to make it work, because I always make it work.
Yeah, that's a good state of mind, good mind frame, it sounds like a winner to me.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to be going to like Amsterdam and like, I mean, it's also going to be a ton of fun too. It's not like, it's going to be a very leisurely trip. So.
Yeah. But I love how for some people, they need to work harder and that's the focus of their life because they've been lazy all their life. For you, it seems like you've said no to a lot of experiences. Mm-hmm. And so it's like these things balance out over time. Yeah. And it's great to hear that you're finally having fun, Carter.
Yeah, man. I'm having a lot of fun. Yeah.
So, Carter, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Where can we send people to connect with you further?
Yeah, man, this is awesome. So probably the biggest place you can follow me is on Instagram, just my name, Carter Good. And that's basically my username for every other social platform too. But Instagram is definitely the place to follow me if you're there. So
awesome. We'll link it below. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, man, this is great.